Good morning. It's good to see you here this morning. And happy Chinese New Year. We just celebrated that Friday. And wish you all a happy Chinese New Year. Now, many times they also give the, may have a prosperous Chinese New Year. But that is not so important as have a peaceful Chinese New Year. We were put this board up here for Friday night celebration with our young people. Happy Chinese New Year. And it's not about prosperity or not about luck, but it is about peace, and that we know that peace comes from the Lord. I saw this here. I think this is a good reminder to us that, again, Christ is the head of this house. And in Christ, there is faith, hope, love, and obey God's word, Lord's word. We praise God and give to the Lord. And the Lord's grace is abundant, and the Lord's grace satisfies. Well, let's bow in prayer as we begin. Father, we come before you today. We ask you to take our hand and to lead us. We ask that you would, your spirit would move in our midst. Pray that you would anoint your servant, Father, to give the words that you would have to be spoken. And Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and our eyes and our ears to the truths of your word. And Lord, we pray that you would move in our midst, and that you would receive the glory and praise for those who may be sick among us, the flu bug and other illnesses, the battling of the cancers. Lord, we pray for these. We uplift them before you. And Lord, we ask today that you would meet with us here, and that your name would be exalted. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we think about this today, we're coming here to Christ is the head of this house. As we consider this, that Christ is the head of this house. And we're looking here today at Isaac and Rebecca. As we look at Isaac and Rebecca, this verse here, we see here, Isaac married Rebecca, so she became his wife, and he loved her. Now, this past week was also Valentine's Day, and we've heard love stories. It was actually on Valentine's Day that I proposed to my wife many years ago. And here we have, in Genesis 24, as we come to Genesis 24, we have one of the greatest love stories. And I think it's important for us to understand that, first of all, love is a choice. A parent chooses to love their child or children. It is a choice. We make this choice. And a spouse chooses to love their spouse. So we see in Genesis 22, the first mention of love, and referring to the love toward a child. And then here we see in chapter 24, the first mention of love toward a spouse. And Ephesians 5, that the husband is to love his wife. And Titus 2, that the wife is to love her husband. And then the Christian also chooses to love God and others. And so, choice comes first. We make the choice. We make that right choice, and then the emotions follow. Love is also an emotion. And so a parent feels love for their child or children. A spouse feels the love for their spouse. And a Christian feels love for God. But the choice to love comes first. Then comes the feeling for love. And so what are the choices we make? And today we're going to look at chapter 24 and three choices. The choice for a spouse, the choices we make in a marriage, the choices we make as parents. And so we come, first of all, as we consider these choices that we make, a spouse, choosing a spouse. It's interesting that the longest chapter in Genesis tells how man got his wife. 67 verses, Genesis 24, the longest chapter, and tells us how important it is, how God leads and directs. And here are some important principles to making the right choice. And if you're not married, and I want you to consider these. Maybe this is something you can pass on to your children. First of all, we need to remember that we are wanting God's will. Wanting God's will to be done. In those days, parents made marriage arrangements. Often were done in those days. But a man and a woman got married, and then they learned to love each other, as we see here in Genesis 24. Abraham made his servant, Eliezer, swear to two things, promise three things. First of all, that he would not select a wife for Isaac from among the Canaanite women. Remember, God had given his promise to Abraham. But it's very important that not from the Canaanite women that he would select a wife. And also we see this in the law of Moses, to not permit Jewish men to marry heathen women who did not believe. And we see it also in the New Testament. Paul reminds us that believers are not to marry unbelievers. All right, so the first principle is that we select a spouse who would be a believer. And then the second thing he told him, he would choose her from Abraham's relatives. And he would choose someone who was part of the family of God. All right, those who would believe, who are children of God. So here is also a principle. And he would not take Isaac back to Abraham's former home. And so we see the promises that this servant made. Now, there's some application we can think of this here. Here's a word of encouragement, is that God's angel would go before the servant and guide him to find what we call Miss Right or Mr. Right. That God's angel, that God would direct our steps. Lead me. Here's my hand. Lead me. So we don't need to worry about these things. We trust in God's leading and not to be worried about these things. Now, I know today some people use internet matching websites. They are both good and bad experiences from that. But most important is this, that we seek God's will. Now, in finding that Mr. Right or Ms. Right, remember Matthew 6:33. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So our priority is to seek His kingdom. Our priority is keep our eyes on the Lord. And He knows those things we have need of. So we keep that our focus. Now, second point here is that we also learn to wait for God's guidance. We wait on God. And I think that one of the important things about waiting is we prepare yourself with the proper gifts. Now, he went, he took the gifts with him, but I think the thing is that we prepare ourselves first. Am I the man that I should be? Sisters, you can ask the same question. Am I the woman that I should be? We prepare ourselves. The gifts that God has given us, His spiritual gifts, the gift of grace, we prepare ourselves. Are we what we ought to be? That's our first concern as we're waiting. And then place yourself in the right place. He made his way to the town of Nahor. He traveled all that distance back to where the relatives were. And then position yourself at the correct time. As he came there, it was a time the women go out to draw water. It's that time that they would come with water, the vessels on their head, that they would come to draw out the water. Now, it was interesting here. As you consider these things here, we've been doing some of this game with our Friday night youth group, Family Feud. And one of the questions asked, they survey 100 people. And they asked, one of these questions they asked was, name a place where a woman has the best chances of finding a man to marry. And it's interesting that of the 100 that were surveyed, the number one answer that came out was church. Now, that's not why we go to church. We go to church to worship God. We go to church to hear the gospel. We go to church to be built up in our faith, to grow in grace. But as we grow in grace, as we serve the Lord, we meet others who are wanting to grow in grace and serve the Lord as well. And so I thought it was interesting that this was mentioned here. But I want you to notice especially number four. This servant prayed specifically. And notice his prayer here. Then he prayed, "Lord God of my master Abraham, make me successful today. Show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside this spring, and the daughters of the towns of people are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a young woman, 'Please let down your jar that I may have a drink,' she says, 'Drink, and I'll water your camels too.' Let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." And so we're reminded of this fact here. Specific prayers receive specific answers. Many times we pray very generally, "Lord, lead me." And that's good. "Take my hand and lead me." That's good. But we pray specifically, "Lord," we lay that out before God, specific requests. If you're not married, "Lord, lead me to a girl who loves you." If you're a guy, "Lead me to a girl who is serving you, who wants to do your will." Pray specifically. Pray for your children as parents. Pray for your grandchildren. Pray specifically. Not just that God would lead them to a spouse, but pray for that specifically. That would be someone who loves God and follows His Word and wants to serve God. Pray specifically. And that's an important lesson for us. Number five, he also wait. We need to wait on God. Now, before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. And without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. He had not even finished praying, and the answer came. Now, sometimes that happens. While you're praying for it, someone knocks at the door. The answer comes immediately. But that's not often the case. More often than not, we have to wait. And waiting is a very important lesson for us. We're reminded of the fact that Joseph waited 13 years. 13 years, what Joseph went through when he was sent to Egypt. He waited 13 years until God put him in the place that God had designed for him, in the palace of Pharaoh as a prime minister. Abraham waited 25 years for Isaac. Moses waited 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus waited 30 years before he began his public ministry. Now, so if God is making you wait, remember that you are in good company. So whether the answer comes immediately or you have to wait for the answer is on its way. And so we need to continue to pray specifically and wait upon God. And then another very important lesson here is praising God's leading. Notice here that then the man bowed down and worshiped the Lord, saying, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. And as for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives." Praise God for the answers. Praise God for those things that come. And God answers those prayer requests. You pray specifically, God answers it. We must not forget to praise Him and to thank Him. And so we praise God. And it's very important. We need to develop the attitude of thankfulness and praise. What we can praise God for. And then number seven, Very important here. Number seven, stay focused on the mission that God has given to us. Don't lose our focus. And when they got up the next morning, he said, "Send me on my way to my master." But her brother and her mother replied, "Well, let the young woman remain with us 10 days or so." 10 days or so, you know, after 10 days, maybe more or so. "Then you may go." But he said to them, "Do not detain me. Now that the Lord has granted success to my journey, send me on my way so I may go to my master." And so we need to make a note to self. Stay focused. It's so easy to lose our focus. We start going in this direction, or we go in that direction, and our focus is the mission that He has given to us. Stay focused. So here are seven principles that are very important for us. And then we see here that he was willing to follow God's direction. Yes, there were physical qualities that Rebecca had. She was a relative. She was very beautiful. She was a virgin. And these physical qualities, but there were also spiritual qualities. She was hospitable. And how she treated him. She showed initiative. "Let me do this." She, on her own, showed that initiative. Hard working. Now, each camel, I'm told, can drink about 25 gallons of water. I don't know how many camels he had there for sure, but that's a lot of water. And so it took a lot of to fill up and to water those camels. And she was obedient. And she knew that God wanted her to go. She did not hesitate. She was obedient. And so, you know, we ask ourselves, you know, what is it we look for? Is it just beauty? Oh, just someone that is pretty? Or someone that's handsome? Or is it more than that? It should be more than that. Do they have a heart for God? And are they serving others? And so as we pray about these things, as you look for these things, pray for these things. It's not don't just say, "Oh, that person's pretty or handsome," but do they have a heart for God? Pray for that, and pray that they would have a heart to serve others. And then we see the watching for God's plan. Isaac was watching. Now, Isaac had come from Beer the Hort Roll, for he was living in the Giv and the southern part there. And he went out in the field one evening to meditate. And as he looked up, he saw the camels approaching. Very possible he was out in the evening meditating on God's Word, meditating on what was going to happen. He knew the servant was sent. Maybe this is his time to pray. And so he was watching. And then Rebecca was also watching. Rebecca also looked up and saw Isaac. She got down from her camel and asked the servant, "Who is that man in the field coming to meet us?" "He is my master," the servant answered. So she took her veil and covered herself. She was watching. And so we watch for God's leading. Keep our eyes watching. Watching for God's leading us in our paths. And then together they were watching. Then the servant told Isaac all that he had done. Told him the story, what had happened. And Isaac brought her into the tent of her mother, Sarah. And he married Rebecca. And there they were married, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And so we see here the servant introducing the two of them. And then they were married. And so we are, consider this, and the choice of a spouse. There is much we can learn from Genesis chapter 24. And, as young people, consider these verses. As parents, as you pray for your children, and pray for our grandchildren, we need to consider these verses. And then, secondly, I want us to think about what marital choices we have. And as we think about this, number two, they had some, we see Isaac and Rebecca, they had their ups and their downs. But ask the question, do you choose to drift away or to draw closer together? When those ups and downs come, when those difficulties come, what choice do you make? What choice do we make? Do we let those things cause us to drift apart or draw us closer together? So consider some of the marital downs that they faced here. First of all, we see Isaac's grief. His mother had just passed away, and as we look here, he grieved 3 years for his mother, Sarah. And, a time of grieving. And this is a difficult when you go through your parents passing away, grieving over that. In some cases, we've had not only that experience of grieving over our parents, but we've had to grieve over a son who passed away, two grandchildren who passed away, and that grieving. Sometimes in a marriage that causes a marriage to such difficulty that they drift apart. And so that's one instance. And then we see Rebecca was childless. And this could have also was a down. She could not have a child at the beginning. And then Isaac's deception. He called Rebecca his sister. Now, he kind of learned this from his father Abraham, as we saw before. He called her his sister. She was beautiful, and he went to a place, he was afraid like Abraham. He learned this from Abraham, and his deception, he lied about it. He called Rebecca his sister. And so, remember this here, that marriage isn't always sunshine. So learn how to survive the storms. You know that there are storms. There are days, the weather, it changes. There's days that the sun is out, there's days that there are storms. And there are the ups and downs. And we need to remember that, because we do not want those things to draw us apart. And then I want you to consider some of the ups that they had in their relationship as we look at this here. Isaac prayed to the Lord. First of all, his prayers. He prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. And the Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebecca became pregnant. They prayed for a child, and they waited, but they prayed for a child. And when God gave them a child, what joy that was. That was the birth of a child within every family. What joy that brings. And then we see here Isaac's decision in the famine. He stayed in Gear instead of going to Egypt like Abraham had. So some of our highs and lows in your marriage, you can think about that. Look back upon some of your highs and some of your lows. But remember this, that God's grace can help you on the mountains and in the valleys. When we're on top of the mountains, it's easy. But in the valleys, God's grace is there with us. And remember this. This is something to consider here. A relationship is like a house. When a light bulb burns out, you do not go and buy a new house. You fix the light bulb. All right? The light bulb went out. Oh no! What are we going to do? We have to sell the house. We're going to have to move somewhere else. No. You fix the light bulb. You fix the light bulb. And light bulbs are going to burn out. Things are going to happen. You fix the light bulb. And so this is a reminder to us. And then number three, I want you to think about the choices we make as parents. Parental choices. What are choices that parents make? We see here, first of all, there was parental favoritism. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, and Rebekah loved Jacob. So what we have here is favoritism. And parents, we have to avoid that. God has given us our children. We love them equally. Isaac loved Esau. Rebekah loved Jacob. So we need to remember this. Instead of focusing on each other, Isaac and Rebekah each chose a son to love. And they focused on the kids, most like themselves. And favoritism is disastrous to marriages and to families. We need to be very careful of this. It's so easy. This child here is so beautiful. This child here is so smart. This child here and the other child, comparing them is not right. We love them equally. We thank God for what He has given to us. And so we remember this here. While God is impartial, Isaac and Rebekah showed favoritism toward their children. And so we need to avoid this. Love our children. Each one is different for a reason. God has a purpose for them. And so we build them up. We encourage them. And then we see here also an example of parental deception. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other. The older will serve the younger. So this was given to them before even the children were born. Told Rebekah, the Lord spoke to her and told her this, what was going to become of their children. And so they should have taken this to heart. But we see here that the lack of communication. Without discussing with Rebekah, we see these words here. When Isaac was old, his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see. He called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son, here I am." He answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your equipment, your quiver, your bow, and go out in the open country and hunt for some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat, that I may give you my blessing before I die." And so we see here, they knew the prophecy that the Lord had spoken to them, but He was determined to give the blessing to His favorite, the child that He loved more than the other, to Esau. And without discussing this with Rebekah, you know, there are certain very important things in a marriage that need to be discussed together. As parents, we need to be one, working together, and not allowing us to be pulled in one direction or the other. And then we see here what happened next was deceiving one another. Now, Rebekah was listening. She overheard what was being said. And as Isaac spoke to his son Esau, then Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back. Rebekah said to her son, her favorite son, Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats so I can prepare some tasty food for your father just the way he likes it. And then take it to your father to eat so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." And so they came up with this deceptive plan. Isaac's eyes were not well. He could not see. And so this plan, it worked. But deception is not good in a family. Jacob received the blessing, but Esau vowed to kill Jacob. And Jacob had to run away. And it's interesting to take note of this, that Jacob never saw his mother alive again, as it would be more than 20 years later before he was able to return to his home. You can see how this family had drifted apart. And the choices we make. Now, in light of this, I want you to consider some things. Isaac and Rebekah made some good choices, but they also made some bad choices. And as a result, they drifted apart. And so the question should be asked, how do you get it back? How do you reconnect? Now here are some things to consider. First of all, facing reality. Admit the fact that you are distant. It happens. But you have to admit, we've kind of grown apart here. And admit that. And when you do this, then you can both take the next step. And facing that reality, the next step, we can think of it this way, is starting paddling toward one another. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's other things that come up. But we start realizing that we need to paddle together, paddle toward each other, and begin to work on our relationship and start doing things that bring you together. Spend time together, talking, listening. And maybe a good place to start may be, why not start with recounting your own love story? You know, think about their love story there we saw in Genesis 24. Recalling these three things. This picture here, three M's, if you would, in English. Met, married, mooned. How did you meet? Recall, whether it be at Valentine's Day or any time, anniversary, any time. It's good for us to remember these things. How did we meet? How did we, what about our marriage? Recall those things. And the honeymoon. And just to help you bring your hearts back together. This is maybe a good place to start. And this can also lead to the third step here, which is to develop better relational habits. Let's go on walks together. Let's eat meals together. I know our schedule is weird sometimes, may not be able to do that, but when you're able to do so, take that opportunity. Go on walks together, talk together, eat meals together. Now, to do this, you also need to do what? And this is the fourth step. Is that sometimes we need to learn to say no. When I say no to an outside demand, I'm really saying yes to my spouse. You'll have an easier time in making these time choice if you remember to say no to certain things. It's only by saying no that you can concentrate on the things that are really important. And so sometimes we have to say no so we can say yes. Number five, the step here, is to maintain proper priorities. Not just saying the right words about these priorities. All right? We know that the priorities, what these priorities ought to be, that God ought to be first in our lives, and then our spouse, then our children, then our work, and et cetera, other things. But saying it and doing it is the difficulty. We say it, and then we need to follow with the right actions. And so the right priorities also show what? They show that you value one another. That you value one another. And so we enjoy life, as it says in Ecclesiastes 9:9. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life, as Solomon refers to it, that God has given you under the sun, all your meaningless days, for this is your lot in life, and in your toilsome labor under the sun. What's he really saying here? In the grind of life, and all that happens in life, and all that we go through in life, you still have a great spouse to provide shade from the sun. Thank God for that, that God has given you that spouse. And value one another. And then number seven, learn to speak the truth in love. Every lie moves you further apart, and every truth brings you closer together. In love, spoken in love. So maybe it would have been good if Isaac and Rebecca had acknowledged, I think we have a problem here. We've been showing favoritism to our children, or we have not been spending time together. admitting that this is not right. What can we do about it? And to come together and speaking to one another. And remember then, number 8, little things are important. There are a lot of mistakes in this story. We see the favoritism, the deception, withdrawal that took place between these two, and anger. Isaac and Rebekah remained emotionally distant. Esau was burning with anger. And he made the following vow, "The days of the mourning of my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." So, as we look at this family situation, I want you to consider this. When Jacob finally returned to his brother Esau, Jacob bowed to the ground 7 times in a great showing of humility and respect. He offered gifts, but remember, it's not just prosperity. The greatest thing is it would be peace. But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and he kissed him, and they wept. This story ends with reconciliation between Esau and Jacob. And God can do that with you too. God can do that with your marriage. God can do that with your relationship. And so the important thing to remember is, I choose reconciliation. I choose peace. I choose love. In Germany, there's a statue that's known as the Reconciliation Statue. As you know, Germany was divided between East and West, and sometimes families were divided because of that. When they tore down the Berlin Wall, families were reunited, and they put up this reconciliation statue. I see this here. I see Jacob and Esau. And I see here also that we can have reconciliation. We choose peace. We choose a way of peace. We choose reconciliation. We choose love. And finally, I want you to think about this. This couple here, this past month in China, this man here, Xu Yang Chen, 100 years old. His wife, Xiao Ying, 101. And they were married in 1937. They just celebrated their 80th anniversary. How wonderful was that? And I read the article about them, and they talked about all the things they went through, the difficulties they went through. But joyfully, they celebrated their 80th anniversary. And so we need to remember this. I choose peace. I choose love. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word. May it speak to our hearts today. May it speak to our decisions that we make to choose as we consider Your choice for a spouse. Lord, we pray for Your will. There are so many principles we can learn here in Genesis 24. And as we think about the choices we make in a marriage and the choices we make as parents, Lord, help us to choose love and to choose peace. And Lord, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.